1320 WILS. You know that family dynamics can be tough, but blended families can be a whole different planet. My next guest has written a book to help. Trevor Crow Molyneux joins us. She's the author of Blending Families, Merging Households with Kids 8 to 18. Trevor, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're a licensed marriage and family therapist. And now you yourself have a blended family, am I right?
Yes, I live it every day.
Yeah. And how did, what was the blending? How many kids and whose kids and so on?
Well, actually, I've got two blends in my family right now. I married a guy who had two kids. Then we had two kids together, so there's four, and they're half-siblings. Uh-huh. We got divorced, and then I got remarried, and the man I am married to has one child. So we have stepkids, and we have half-siblings.
Wow. That sounds complicated. So when it's that complex, how do you actually decide who disciplines and how when it's to that level?
You know what? It's just all about loving each other and showing up and being kind and respectful and not forcing. You know, nobody's going to love each other right away, and you hope that it all grows. But the key, I think the number one key is a strong couple, that the couple really has each other's back. They agree on parenting styles. Uh-huh. They do their damnedest to be fair across all different kids and stepkids and blends.
Okay.
And,
tell me
and they
this,
never
though,
undermine each other.
If you are the step-parent coming into the picture, what level of involvement should you have in the disciplining of your stepchildren?
Great question. I say very little. Certainly initially, you just want to get to know, start caring about this kid. The biological parent should do the majority of the discipline. But you have to be on the same page, and you have to agree of, you know, have similar family values, and you have to back each other up. And you know, if the biological parent isn't around and you really do have to handle stuff, you know, you want to have that similar parenting plan idea and do it kindly, never over the top, really kindly and carefully.
Now, you said in the previous marriage that you both came in with your own children to that marriage. Is that right?
No, I married a guy who had two kids, so I did not have any children.
Before that, okay. Now, did that cause trouble in the marriage, that factor in itself?
No, I became a stepmom overnight. I had been living sort of a Sex and the City kind of life in New York City, moved out to Encinitas, California, and I had to learn. I was thrown into the deep end of the pool, just had to, like, what's a sink or swim. The kids were 6 and 3. And to this day, we're very close. All the kids really connect, and I love my stepdaughter.
What about the conflict? Because there is conflict. Am I right to say that with step-parenting?
Absolutely. There's always going to be conflict. But the key, again, I'm going to go back to the couple. If you've agreed on what that you have each other's back, you don't undermine. Uh-huh. You agree on certain sort of behaviors and the consequences or the rewards, then you don't have to argue in front of the kids. Certainly never do that anyway. But if you have an issue, you go behind doors.
But were you never told, hey, you're not my mom, you can't tell me that?
Yeah, I've heard it. And you just kind of take a deep breath and say, I'm the adult here, and this is an unsafe situation, and you're not going to be doing that anymore, so stop. And if you don't stop, these are the consequences.
So the book...
But again, older, kinder, wiser. You got to be calm and not scream. Of course, I have screamed. But
that happens. Trevor Crow Molyneux. Molyneux. She's the author of the brand-new book, Blending Families, Merging Households with Kids 8 to 18. Now, at what age does it become, would you say, especially difficult in the blended family?
Well, when you start blending and kids are kind of sort of middle school, mid-teens, it's tough, and you really have to go very slowly, and you have to respect these kids are transitioning, and it's painful, and every blend starts from some kind of loss, whether a divorce or possibly a death of a parent. So you've got to be just very, very empathic and go slow.
Well, what if you have a teen
the kids
that
don't that run the show?
Yeah.
You do.
But what if they hate you? You know, I mean, what if you show up, you're a nice person, and they're being spiteful and angry towards you?
Well, you know what, kids are going to act out, and again, if you stay centered and sort of say, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere, and your spouse is supporting you, I get it, this is difficult and painful for you, but I'm not going to go anywhere, and I'm just going to react with very kind, soft, yeah, we'll see where it goes, and I'm still going to be here, and it's kind of nice when kids have another adult, a third adult that drops everything and shows up with all different types of resources, time, money. You know, you really can add a lot to that family.
How much can be very healing,
in fact.
How much stress would you say really puts on a relationship, having, you know, coming in with children, having stepchildren?
Oh, massively. It can be very, very stressful. Or it can be okay. Again, this is doing it planfully and doing it in a very slow way and giving the kids a chance to kind of get to know one another, a chance to get to know the new partner. You can't force any of this on anybody. But if you stay calm and slow, even make a mission statement for your family. As a family, we're all going to come together. We're going to show each up for each other. We'll love each other and make each other feel safe and heard and seen. Ultimately, you know, people start to relax and they start to become a blend. And it usually takes about 7 years. So you got to give yourself a lot of time and forgiveness because you're going to mess up.
Seven years.
All you have to do is get right 30% of the time. Yeah. That's pretty good number, right?
Why 7 years? That sounds like an awfully long time.
You know, it takes a while to develop rituals around religious holidays or birthdays and summers and vacations and that kinds of things. And it takes kids to, you know, you need some rhythm. You need to get it going. And it just seems like 7 years seems to be the time where everybody kind of goes, yeah, okay, we get it. We know what's, you know, it's predictable. It feels comfortable now.
Yeah.
You know, all the newness is gone. All those early, you know, bumps and you know, wounds are starting to fall away, and everybody's just kind of like, oh, okay, we can do this.
Yeah, the book is Blending Families. One of the chapters, Truth as a Gateway. How do you, what are you talking about there?
Well, I really want people to be really clear about their feelings. And one of the things I talk about is to get to know your attachment style. That means, do you know how you react? A lot of people react in a fight way, so they blame and criticize, or they are freeze or flee, which is kind of an avoidant response to stress. When you start to understand your own reactive, your own kind of way you handle stuff, then you can start, you know, really filling in the blanks. So if you're an avoidant person and you start shutting down when, you know, your spouse yells at you and then you get quieter and quieter and the spouse gets madder and madder, you know, you really need some skill sets to get through some of this stuff. And when you throw in biological and stepkids, it gets even more stressful. So if you get to a point where you can have some real self, you know, calming awareness and be able to come to the spouse and say, you know what, I'm overwhelmed. You know, part of me feels like you're, you know, focusing on your kids more than mine. I get jealous about that. Can we talk about it? You're starting to be very honest about your feelings and clear. And hopefully your spouse can go, wow, I didn't realize I was doing that. Let me shift a little bit and respond to you. So I choose you. And that's really the message deep down.
The conflict then between the children, between the stepchildren. Now, what kind of conflict did you see yourself in your situation?
Strangely, my kids have all kind of managed through and been very kind to one another and didn't have much infighting, really. I'm actually racking my brain right now.
That's incredible. But tell me this then. Typically, what would be the source of the conflict if it does happen?
Well, if you are, if you're going to treat one kid differently than some other non-biological kids, you're in for a problem. If you make something special for one kid and continue to do it, and then the other kids don't get that same thing, over time, that's going to degrade the relationships in the entire house.
Is it natural for a parent to have more love for their biological child than the stepchild?
Absolutely. There's no question. And I say that at the very beginning of the book, which is when I, you know, had my daughter, I remember just smelling her and just knowing every part of me. I loved the way she smelled. And I could hug and kiss my stepkids every day, but I never felt that same, like, visceral physical connection. So this is a real choice.
That's a tough thing to hear for a stepchild, I'm imagining.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm trying to be very real in this book. I don't want it to sound like Pollyanna, like, yeah, it's all great. It isn't. It is really a choice to say, I'm going to find out, I'm going to find a way to love these kids, and I'm going to support them as best I can, so to speak.
Yeah, I like that. It's very, very interesting and very honest. So how do you, with that being the case, when there is such a natural love and connection with your biological child, how do you describe your love for the stepchildren ultimately?
Over time, I really adore them all, and I've grown to respect each one of them, and I really Very, very much love them. My oldest one is going to be married in a year. I'm in her wedding. Mm-hmm. We are all part of a team, and we're, you know, we really, I believe that we can all love each other, so, and it doesn't have to be bound by DNA.
Should you, when you're, if you're a parent involved in a stepchild environment, should you approach it differently? Should you anticipate that it's not going to be necessarily the same love as for your biological child?
Yeah, I think if you're aware of that and you adjust to that, and mm-hmm. and again, that child probably has two full biological parents, and you want to defer to the biological parents usually. I mean, they're mm-hmm. they're the ones making the big decisions, but you can also show up and be kind and be a different sort of person to listen and care about the kid. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of nice that child has a different set of ears, a different set of eyes to be watching and saying, yeah, I'm here. And I understand what you're going through, and we're all here working as a team.
It's something that a lot of families are dealing with today. Do you think, one last thing, when you see these families and the problems that they run into, what's kind of the most typical problem or thing that they're doing wrong, would you say?
I think the easiest, most clear thing that I'll hear is one parent doesn't like to discipline. The typical thing is we call them Disney dads. But it's the parent who doesn't see the kid the most, probably the one who's the big wage earner. Mm-hmm. That parent only sees the kids maybe weekends or every other weekend. And that parent usually, you know, in many cases is the dad. And oftentimes he's just reluctant to impose structure and discipline
okay,
on
but,
his kids.
But within the mm-hmm. family, the step family itself.
Oh, well, this is a problem. So if that dad is having trouble disciplining his kids, then you mix him up with the mom who's got her own kids in a household where there's a lot of discipline and there's rules and whatnot, and these uh-huh. kids are, and the dad isn't disciplining. So now the mom is going to have to, the stepmom is now, you know, developing the discipline, and that can cause a lot of problems for everybody, her, uh-huh. the dad, the stepkid. Like, it's just a mess.
So complicated.
You got to be on the same team.
Yeah. Same team. So that means what? Do you strategies, that kind of thing? Have meetings and discuss
them? Yeah, it really, really comes big time from the couple. The couple has to be so strong mm-hmm. and have each other's backs. I keep saying this. They have to say, you know, we're in it together. And this is the toughest thing. I choose you. That means you as a couple, I choose each other mm-hmm. over the kids, actually. So you are the king and queen of the house. This is not a democracy. The children, we call them a subsystem. They can have influence, those kids, but they can't make choices. They can't blow up the marriage. They can't act out. You, the mom and dad, are really the ones, or the partners, uh-huh. Are the ones really setting the tone, setting the rules, and being the older, kinder, wiser people in the house. Yeah. And that makes everybody safe. When the kids are running the show, it's not good.
Yeah, that's like, that could be 4-on-2. That you can't win without those kinds of numbers. Trevor Crowe Molyneux, the book Blending Families, Merging Households with Kids 8 to 18, a very complex issue, but one that you can learn a lot more about. The book, again, Blending Families. Trevor, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate it.